to the official podcast for St. Philip's Episcopal Church in Rochester, Michigan. You can learn more about our church at our website, stpfeeds.org. Our Sunday services are at 8 and 10 a.m., and all are welcome. This podcast is the sermon for Wednesday, February 19th, 2020, the renewal of ministry and installation of a rector. Sermon by the Reverend Susie Schaefer.
May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer.
Amen.
Hello. It is such a joy to be here with you tonight. I'm very pleased that Eric and our new bishop invited me to be part of this celebration of you all having a new rector. And isn't that, yeah. Although, isn't this just the classic Episcopal way of doing change, that after he's been here for 3 years, we thought we'd go ahead and do the liturgy that our church used to call celebration of new ministry? But I'm really happy. I love it so much that you all have gone with the more recent name and called this a renewal of ministry. Now, some of you may be like me, and you love all new beginnings and all clean slates. So you know the type. We love New Year's resolutions. We like to buy school supplies in September, even if it's been years since we were actually enrolled in an educational institution. And so tonight, for people like me, it's a chance to celebrate a beginning, as this congregation marks the end of one phase and the beginning of another where Eric is the rector. Or, if you're the other kind of person who thinks New Year's is arbitrary, and you just prefer to mark milestones as they come, not because the calendar told you to, then today's a great day to celebrate a milestone. Either way, beginnings are exciting, milestones are important, and celebrating is fun. So here we are. Now, over Eric's time in the Diocese of Michigan, he and I have worked together on a few different projects and teams. When he was the director of the Whitaker Institute, I served as the chair of his board. And then over the last couple years, we served together on the bishop search and nomination team. Now, part of that work, as you may know, was to learn about who we are in the Diocese of Michigan, and then try to communicate that to potential bishop candidates through something we called a profile. And in that profile, we wrote about the road ahead for our diocese, about our dreams and our hopes for ministry in the name of Jesus in this corner of the world. And in that work, we quoted the verse that we heard tonight as part of the church's reading for celebrating the ministry of all the baptized. They shall be like a tree planted by water, sending out its roots by the stream. It shall not fear when heat comes, and its leaves shall stay green. In the year of drought, it is not anxious, and it does not cease to bear fruit. Sitting with the image of the tree is such a beautiful way to approach a new season in ministry, whether as a diocese or a congregation, or even as individual beloved children of God. We want to embody Jeremiah's metaphor. We dream of being rooted in God's living waters and fed by the Spirit we receive in baptism, and strengthening that root system through prayer and building our relationship with Jesus. Our trunk, our core strength, is fueled by those roots and built up as we engage one another in our faith community and support each other so that we can reach out, spreading those branches that offer shade and rest and produce fruitful ministry in the world around us. Jeremiah has given us an image of faith that's full of strength and grace and beauty and abundance, and I'm so encouraged by this image because I dream and hope for a faith and a community that can change with the seasons and still find beauty and abundance in all times and places. After a season of transition and change in this place, and the anxiety those times can bring, I hope that this image of ministry encourages you as well. And I do also have to confess that when I picture that tree and the ministry it could represent, I'm inclined to imagine a really big, great, glorious tree, like the kind you'd find on a Pure Michigan postcard. I want my metaphorical tree to be covered with gorgeous fall leaves and covered with spring blossoms and heavy with apples and cherries all at the same time. Now, my congregation down in Clinton can tell you that I actually don't really know much about gardening or farming or plants. So that may be part of why I get to imagine a tree that is in three different seasons and multiple species simultaneously. Still, there is more to this jumbled image, and I think it is the reason that the wisdom of our prayer book places Jeremiah alongside our gospel story of James and John to teach us about our shared ministry. We know this gospel story. It comes up in the lectionary. Jesus and the disciples are walking from one place to another, talking along the way, when James and John decide to ask for a favor. Now, it might be worth noting that James and John are called sons of thunder at other places in the gospel. So we already know that this request has the potential to be larger than life. Sure enough, they ask to be given the very highest places of honor when Jesus does fulfill his mission as Messiah. And don't we all just want to shake our collective heads and say, come on, guys. Don't you know any better? Have you learned nothing from following Jesus around the countryside? Except, then I think of that perfectly miraculous tree that I've imagined as a metaphor for faith, and I know that we are all prone to the same questions and longings. We want to be the greatest. We want to be rewarded with beauty and glory for the hard work of ministry. It's part of human nature to dream of greatness and to want to be rewarded for our efforts. We want affirmation, we want gold stars. We want to know that we'll be appreciated or promoted or cheered and rewarded for the work of ministry and the work of our lives. Dreaming big is part of who we are, and it's part of our God-given imagination. And so Jesus doesn't scold or shame those sons of thunder for their ambition. He asks them to transform it by offering them this paradox. The work of ministry, of following Jesus, is not about getting affirmation, but offering it to those who've been rejected and left out by the powers of the world. The work of Jesus is about raising up those who have been cast down, about feeding those who are hungry, about cheering and loving those who are oppressed by grief and exclusion and injustice. And in doing those things, in lifting up those around us and serving the world that God loves, we will find ourselves raised up as well. In welcoming and raising up the gifts of other people, we discover our own God-given gifts. In offering love to those who most need it, we discover that Jesus loves all of us more fully and deeply than we had been able to imagine before that moment. So Martin Luther King Jr. preached all about this in a sermon called The Drum Major Instinct. It's all about this paradox and this transformation of our ambition. But he says that it's not about surrendering our dreams of greatness. Rather, as Dr. King says, Jesus offers us this. Jesus gave us a new norm of greatness. If you want to be important, wonderful. If you want to be recognized, wonderful. If you want to be great, wonderful. But recognize that he who is greatest among you shall be your servant. That's a new definition of greatness. And this morning, Dr. King continued, the thing that I like about it, by giving that definition of greatness, it means that everybody can be great because everybody can serve. Eric, friends here at St. Philip's, people who are part of this community of Rochester and this Diocese of Michigan, we're all entering a new season of ministry together. And I truly hope that you will see and know that the Holy Spirit is making things new and working out her plans among you. I hope that you are dreaming of the great and wonderful things that God can do in you and through you. And I pray that your dreams of greatness and success in ministry are rooted in the dreams of Jesus and his way of love, so that the branches of your service and witness may reach into the world around us. So as we're imagining those glorious branches again, I want to leave you with a favorite proverb. It goes like this: the best time to plant a tree is 20 years ago. The second best time is now. We can't change the past or bring it back or do it differently. So now is the best and only time we have to serve, to give, to grow, and to extend the love of Jesus into the world. Have fun planting some trees.